Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. The English far too strong in the third test last night, chasing down 124, losing just 2 wickets in the process to absolutely destroy the Australians. To talk all things cricket is a man that played 79 tests for his country, averaged over 50 in 185 one days. He joins us on the line now, Mike Hussey. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Howie. How are you, mate?
Yeah, wonderful to speak to you. I wish it was in more bright circumstances after last night, but by gee, we got absolutely pantsed in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it was always hard to come back after that first innings. The ball seemed to zip around quite a lot in that first innings, and we couldn't really get a decent sort of first innings score on the board. And from there, you're always sort of playing catch up. And it's a disappointing result, but you know, there's a lot of character in that team, and I'm sure they'll bounce back. Trent Bridge.
Yeah, Mike, it's a change game test cricket. We rarely see now it go into the fifth day. You sort of look at Chris Rogers, who's the old style test batsman that puts in time. Everyone else has got a lot of shots. Do you think we need to be more defensive, or is that just the modern game and the way Anderson was bowling on that deck, it was going to happen anyway?
No, I think that's just the way the game is now. You know, I think T20, the way the guys play the game now has a lot to answer for in that respect. You know, guys are wanting to get on with it a lot more. You don't see the long, patient innings anymore. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the cricket's really attractive. You know, people want to see wickets being taken. They want to see runs scored quickly. But certainly the art of being able to battle long, long periods of time, maybe that is going out of the game a little bit more. If someone scores a big score, they're going to score it really, really quickly. But having said that, you know, England bowled really well. They got the ball moving around quite a lot. And it doesn't matter whether you're scoring fast or scoring slow. It can be difficult to bat, in those sort of situations.
Yeah, it's funny. Last week, Australia were unbeatable. This week, there are a bunch of hacks that are far too old. It turns around very quickly. Jimmy Anderson out of the fourth test in Trent Bridge. Michael Clark, Mike, spoke last night after the test match. He was really honest. I really enjoy that about the Australian captain. Here's what he had to say.
It's always going to be hard to beat any opposition when they've got 11 and we've only got 10 at the moment. That's how it feels when... You know, with my performances so far, I certainly haven't led from the front like I'd like to do as captain.
Pretty honest post-game there last night, wasn't he, Huss?
It's a tough call. He's been a champion player for a long time, and I have 100% confidence he'll bounce back. You know, it's just the way the game goes sometimes. And unfortunately, sometimes you go through these little patches. And unfortunately, it's when there's a big series on, I know how desperate he would be to play well and especially as captain and have a big series. But it's just the way it goes sometimes. But the good thing is it always turns around. If he keeps believing in himself and he keeps, backing himself and keeps preparing well, then it does always turn around and I'm sure it will for him. He's been such a good player for such a long time.
Huss, a couple of West Australians who you know very well. Voges hasn't got the runs. Sean Marsh has made runs in both tour games. It's a shame Adam hasn't been able to get going. Any chance you think they'll bring Marsh in and possibly bat him three and shuffle everyone down in the fourth test?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be discussions, but I hope... Personally, they show faith in Vogesy. You know, he's a fantastic player, fantastic guy, a great team man as well, a great character. So, and he had a brilliant start to his test career, scoring that magnificent 100 in the West Indies. He shows he can succeed at this level. Obviously he needs to score some runs, but I hope they show faith in him and stick with him because he's a great player and he can really add a lot of value to that team. If they do go the other way, then, at least... Sean Marsh is in great touch. He's been scoring runs at every opportunity in the practice games. I guess the only thing I'd be, just be careful of is that playing against the county sides in comparison to playing in an Ashes test match is completely different. The level of intensity and the level of pressure and the level of skill is a lot higher, obviously, in the Ashes test match. I personally hope they show the faith in Vogesy.
Mike Hussey is going to stick around and talk all things Big Bash next. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey with Mike Hussey on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Mike, great to see you back in the Big Bash. Have you had a chance to do any training at all? It must be tough coming straight into it with little preparation because you're not playing much cricket.
Yeah, I'm not doing much at the moment. Just trying to stay fit, with a bit of fitness stuff and things like that. Not haven't had a bat in my hands for a while, but I'll definitely be getting back into it, you know, maybe in a month or so, having a few hits and doing, I guess, whatever you can. It is difficult, I must admit. Mm. But no, I'm really looking forward to the season. We've made some good signings. You know, our squad looks stronger again. And we did improve a lot last year, but there's still a fair bit of improvement that we need to make before, you know, I felt like the job could be done and could move on and pass the reins on to someone else.
Hey, it was great to see Jacques Callis. Would have been wonderful playing with him, and you'll get the opportunity again after playing so many years against him. He was a star, especially the way he started last year for the Sydney Thunder, Mike.
Yeah, no, he was brilliant. Loved having him in the dressing room. You know, and what a lot of people don't see is how much he gave to the younger guys as well off the field. You know, we saw what he did on the field, and from a captaincy point of view, he's such a great player to have because he offers you, he's virtually two players. You know, he offers you with the ball, he offers you with the bat. But, you know, the way he talked to the youngsters, passed on his experience, you know, in the dressing room, any guy could come up to him and have a chat and ask him questions, and he was really giving of his time. So from that point of view as well, he's been absolutely fantastic.
Mike, no doubt you'd be aware of your brother, Dave. He's running around for the Two Blues for Paran, playing footy for the first time in 15 seasons, describing himself as a hard-tackling forward. Is that the way you would expect him to play football?
No chance. No chance whatsoever. He'll be hanging on the edges and calling for someone else to get in and get the hard ball and flick it out to him. No worries about that.
Is there anything you're going to go down? Any other sporting path? I saw Adam Gilchrist ran a marathon not long ago. Your brother's becoming an AFL superstar. To keep fit and keep your eye on, is there anything else you're doing or not?
I might go to the more leisurely pace of golf or something like that, I think. I won't be playing footy, that's for sure. I do play a bit of squash, actually. I enjoy playing squash. I'll be leaving the footy alone. And gee, it's a great effort by Gilly doing a marathon. I think he did it with his wife as well, which is an even better effort. Who from all reports, left him for dead at about the 30K mark. So it'll be interesting to hear some of those stories as time goes on.
Yeah, I think Mel Gilchrist did it in about 3 hours 35, which is extraordinary. As we let you go, when you're playing squash, are you sort of one of those sweatband types with those funny goggles on? Is that the way you hit the squash court or not?
I keep it pretty simple, mate. I have got that picture in my mind now. So thanks for that so early in the morning.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate your time. Thanks for having a chat with cricket. And we can't wait to see you on the Big Bash this summer on Network 10 for the Sydney Thunder.
No worries, Howie. Thanks for having me.
Tigers too good for the Hawks last night. They kept Hawthorn to two goalless quarters. Quite extraordinary. 10-11-71. Hawthorn 7-11-53. And our man Sean Grigg, 22 very assured disposals. He joins us on the line now. Good morning, Griggy.
Morning, Howie. Morning, Duck. How you going, boys?
Very good.
The morning after the night before, great man. Congratulations on the performance of your footy club last night. You did not let Hawthorn play the way they like to play, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, we went in with a plan to try and hold on to the footy and restrict the Hawks, because we've seen over the last few weeks that if they can play on their own terms, they're pretty devastating.
Absolutely, easily the most dominant performance of the year, because in the other big wins that you've had, and I've watched all of them, or lucky enough to watch all of them live, you've actually had lapses. The game against Sydney, you only played half a game the second half. Even against Freo, as good as you were in that first quarter, Freo, I think, outscored you in the last three quarters. So last night was a complete performance.
Yeah, it was, Duck. We went through probably 5 or 6 weeks there where, yeah, like you said, we'd play a half or three quarters and we'd just do enough to get over the line, which we weren't happy with, because we knew once you come up against the informed teams of the comp and the teams up the top of the ladder that they only need you to be off for 10 minutes and they'll pile on 3 or 4 goals.
I love the fact that last night you were just so brave in the way they used the footy, and how he summed it up before. You just didn't allow them to get their hands on it early, but you only needed half a metre and you're all prepared to pull the trigger and try to hit the target.
Yeah, it was really good. Boys backed their skills in, and we just went into the game wanting to play our game and focus on what we can do to win, rather than sort of get caught up in how well the Hawks are going and sort of go into your shell a bit. So it was good to execute the way we wanted to play.
Brett Dilidio was sensational early, 3 goals. Really important that you put the Hawks under pressure. That's been their great strength. The game's almost over at quarter time. He kicked 3 first quarter goals. I love the fact, and I think you look a much better team when he's playing forward.
Yeah, I think so. He's just so dangerous. He's got both the attributes, you know. He's a really small, fast, you know, nippy player, but then he's a great overhead mark as well. So he's a really tough matchup. And fatherhood, I think, suiting him at the moment. Not getting much sleep, but he's playing really well.
And Bashir Hooley, clearly under a little bit of pressure during the week, and then to come out. And he was a little bit scratchy. Took the first kick out, said he was going to do that. But then to go back, get an opportunity to kick a goal and put it straight through the middle, and to have all the team get around him was a great little moment within the game.
Yeah, it was good to see Bash sneak forward and kick a goal. You know, he's a really important player for us, and you know, that's his role to take the kick outs, and you know, he's got a lovely left peg on him. So yeah, he'll continue to do that all year.
I just want to read a tweet out from Benny Gale, the great man, CEO obviously of Richmond. It's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts. Richmond Footy Club. Well done. And that was obviously to do with Basher.
Hey, Griggy, word from the Tigers. Your man Brett Delidio, fantastic last night. Any truth to the story that you love him more than you love your own wife?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the boys had probably got me in on that one. But, yeah, I've already claimed that my little boy, Sonny, is already engaged to his daughter, Miller, and father of the bride has to pay for the wedding. So
you two are very, very tight men.
Yeah, we're good mates. And our partners are good friends as well, so it does make it easy.
Sean, there's an issue that's been bubbling away in this studio that's been brought to my attention for the last 2 years, apparently, that I need to bring to the table. You've got your magnificent business, the Spud Bar, correct?
Yes, correct.
Apparently, a couple of years ago, you came in here on the Rush Hour and dished out some vouchers to the Spud Bar, including our man Hyphen, who works on that show on this show. Now, Hyphen loves his food. He's pretty good on the tooth, Griggy. He whipped down to the Spud Bar and you gave him vouchers that had already expired, Griggy, and he couldn't cash in them. Hyphen, is this what happened?
Is that
what happened, Hyphen?
I would never say anything like that.
Well, that's
Griggy.
What you said in the break, Griggy. He said he went down there for a free one and they tried to charge him.
I reckon I gave him, they sat on the desk for about 6 months, so I don't know whose fault that was, but certainly wasn't mine. Anytime they want to wander over there, go over there and treat yourself, boys.
You want to be careful saying that at the Hyphen, because he could knock off 15 spuds and put you out of business.
Hey, Griggy, I have to ask, and we spoke about it before, surely now, and I don't suggest before now you didn't believe, but surely now that the goal has to be to go deep into September.
Oh, we believe that on, you know, the way we play, like we did last night, that we can beat anyone. There's still, I don't know how many games, 6 games to go, and there's no bigger challenge than travelling away as a group, especially against Adelaide over there. They're playing some really good footy and they're really creeping up the ladder as well. So, we just want to go over there and try and do the job on them.
Hey, Sean, we really appreciate the time. It's going beautifully for you and the Tigers, and hopefully the Spud Bar continues to tick away after the Hyphen gets down there and cleans you out.
Cheers, boy. Thanks for having me.
Sean Grigg doing a very nice job for the Richmond Football Club. Ducky Boy, our next guest, 13 years in the system AFL at the Kangaroos and the Geelong Football Club, 126 games, and one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet, Ducky.
Gentleman.
Boy. He is a gentleman. He joins us on the line now after retiring this week, Hamish McIntosh. G'day, Haim.
G'day. Good morning, boys.
Hey, congratulations, mate, on your career. Two magnificent clubs. You've served them brilliantly well. As I said, one of the nicest blokes to play footy in the last 15 years. How did you feel when you realised that the ankle was going to end the whole career, Haim?
Thanks for the nice words, boys. It's been a bit sad, a bit emotional. I guess when it all ends, you have time to reflect in your career and the positives and negatives, I suppose, through my time. And yeah, it's been some amazing times, amazing journey, and made some amazing friends and relationships along the way. And yeah, obviously I was disappointed with the injuries and it was kind of plagued my career, especially towards the last 4 or 5 years. But in the end, I'm still proud and happy to play 13 years of footy.
Yeah, congratulations, mate, on what has been a long career. And you're right, it's the last probably 3 or 4 years been dogged by a lot of injuries. Is that obviously clearly the disappointing part of your career? How tough has it been?
Yeah, look, it's been tough. I probably at North could have had the chance to prove myself and play some good footy. While I was injured there, I could probably get through rehab a little bit easier because I guess I'd proved myself at North Melbourne as a player and earned the respect. But coming to Geelong was tough. especially my first year there, I didn't play a game at all. And coming there as a recruit with high expectations, not only from the club, but from myself as well. And yeah, to not play at all, I found it really tough. It was definitely the most mentally challenging year of my career. But it also made last year even more rewarding once I finally got my body right and got the chance to play footy again. And just playing a winning side every week and get the chance to play with all those legends at Geelong, it was an amazing feeling. Obviously, I would have loved to leave footy with a premiership. You know, that's what everyone dreams of playing. But unfortunately, not every player gets a fairy tale ending. And yeah, I was one of them.
Hank, 13 years, as I said, it's quite some time in the system. It'll be a very different game at your last training session than your first training session. In the last few months, there's been discussion about the intensity and the pressure on AFL footballers and whether the average footballer is enjoying the game. Have you seen a bit of that in your time, or that's not you?
I have, I must admit. There's a lot more scope and on the AFL these days. I suppose there's a lot more media outlets and a lot more media shows and those things. So there's a lot more scope on players, a lot more pressure, and you can see now the players, you know, they lose or have a bad game. You can see they really feel it. They really, you know, feel the pain, not only of the defeat of the side, but the pain of them playing a bad game, and you can see the stress in them. So it can be quite, as I said, stressful for some players, but you just got to make sure you've got a nice balance away from the club and away from footy that you can release the pressure and, you know, release that stress to come back and attack the next week and play well and respond.
Given that you've had a fair bit of time to think, because you've been in the injury room so often, what do you think you'll do next?
Yeah, not too sure, Wayne, at the moment. I guess I always knew this was going to be my last year, and but I guess you never really prepare for it too well until actually the moment happens when you actually have to retire or your career finishes. So it's all kind of happened pretty quickly last week. So I'm just going to get my body right. I've got to get surgery next week. And then, yeah, just going to relax a bit and then weigh up a couple of things. I've been doing a fair bit of stuff away from the footy club. So just kind of weighing up those options in which direction I want to head.
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad you asked that question, Duck, because I've got a rumour that you need to put to bed or go with, Hank, that possibly yourself and your recently retired buddy who you started with a long time ago, Nathan Grimer, are taking a show on the road a la sort of Mark Jackson and Warwick Kappa style to just blow the lid on AFL football and what really happens.
Oh, mate, we can talk shit with the best of them. So we might be doing a couple of things together, mate, but I'm still pretty flat on the bridesmaid at the retire after him, because he's got that on me now. But he did well. He retired a couple of weeks ago. I'll tell you one thing. He's been doing the Johnny Farnham lap of honour at the moment. But he's hanging on for this retirement party as long as he can. I'm proud of him, mate. He did really well. And yeah, I guess it's sad we both had to end the same year, but at least we can have a bit of fun together as well.
Is there one player, Hank, can you name one player that you've played against that you've seen out on the football field that you just thought, I don't know what to do about this bloke, he's just on a whole nother level? Is there one that stands out?
One I played with?
With or against?
Probably the one I played with is probably not more on field, but off field. I love Lachie Hansen just as a character. He was just, obviously you guys have had a bit to do with him as well. He's a different cat. I tell you what, if you ever have a down day or anything like that, just go have a beer with him for half an hour and he'll get you quickly back on the happy end of the scale. He's an interesting character, but he's great fun. Playing against guys, always had a great rivalry with a few ruckmen, and always loved playing against Jamie Charman and Ben Hudson. They were probably the ones I enjoyed the most, not only just for the battle against them, but they also loved the lip and had plenty of good sledges against me. So it's just something to enjoy when you think back on your time through footy.
Hey, Haim, we appreciate your time. And when that show goes on the road, the sort of Hank and Nathan show, Duck and I will be front row. We're looking forward to seeing that one.
Good on you, mate. Beautiful, boys. Put the word out for us.
Yeah, we will. We will. Anytime. Hamish McIntosh going on the road soon with an extraordinary cabaret-style show. Duck, our next three guests have come from the United States to try and have a crack at AFL. James Johnson, Kai Kwiatkowski and Jalen Carruthers. And they're just trying to figure out where we fit into the whole situation, whether they've done many interviews.
You've said,
I'm the greatest player of all time. And they've turned to me. And what did I say, Duck?
You said you're Jay Letterman.
David Letterman, one of those. That's where we're at. Michael, hey, boys, Parkinson. Welcome along.
Thank you. Good to have us.
Great to see you. Let's start with you, Jalen. Firstly, it says on your sheet you're 201 centimetres. You said to me, no, Howie, I'm not. I'm taller than that. So already you're just pumping yourself up, mate. 203 centimetres, yeah. A basketball background. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm from North Carolina in the States, and I play basketball. I just recently graduated, and this opportunity came probably about in April, about 4 months ago.
How did it come to pass?
There was a guy, Draft Express, Jonathan Giovanni, and he contacted a couple of us just from, like, watching our film, and told us this opportunity in Florida to try out for a sport that he thought our attributes would fit well. And, you know, I just gave it a try. We all did, and we did really good at the combine. That's how we ended up with this opportunity here.
Now, a couple of you have got contracts or opportunities to play in Europe, professional basketball, obviously. Is that you're going to do that, or is this taken over from that?
Oh, I mean, it's just all a waiting game right now, just to hear back from the clubs. And, you know, I'm talking to my agent like almost every other day. And so it's just different things, just trying to put everything in perspective and make the best decision for myself, the clubs, and my family.
I like that you've got an agent. I like the way that sounds. An agent. That's what we need, Duck, an agent to take this to the whole level.
Jerry Maguire.
Hey, James. James, tell us a little bit about yourself, mate. Did you know anything about footy? You're only 206 centimetres, 106 kilos out of Virginia. So you got to work on the weights program a touch. Did you know much about the game or not?
No, not much. I mean, I heard about it. I see it on TV a little bit. My dad likes the sport a lot.
So your dad does?
Yeah, he likes it. Yeah. He spent some time in Australia, New Zealand, like on some trips. I guess he worked in the airline industry.
Right.
So he's familiar with it. Yeah. So he told me a little bit about it. Yeah.
Is he 206 centimeters as well? Because that'd be a bugger working in the airline industry being that tall.
Nah, he does like the office work though. He's like 6'6". I'm not sure what that is in centimeters, but he's a little shorter than me.
It's a hell of a lot. And Kai, tell us a little bit about your story. Well, let me just get this one, Ducky. 98 kilos, 209 centimeters. So we're starting.
Never heard of Aussie rules until you came here.
April, when I got the call, I actually had an Australian basketball coach, and he's the one that kind of put me in touch with the Jonathan guy that Jalen told you about. But he said, hey, there's this opportunity that's arisen. Just give this guy a call. I don't really know what it's about, but I gave Jonathan a call, and he said, we want you to come try out for this combine in Tampa, Florida. And I said, well, what's it for? And he said, Australian rules football. And I was like, well, I don't have any idea what that is. So, and so, yeah, that's the first time that I ever heard about it. It wasn't even on my radar before April. So
Jalen, what's the hardest thing that you've found about Australian rules football so far?
I just respect the whole game, but probably the hardest thing I would say just to transition from sprinting and power basketball to endurance more. But just handballing and kicking, we've been doing a really good job of getting that down pat and working really good with that. Yeah. So I would have to say just to transition from like sprinting to power to more like endurance and just.
And you're sharp, mate. The sprint times you did in the 20-meter were, don't nod your head and say, yeah, come on. Yeah. If your agent was here, he'd be telling me, I think you're half a second quicker than Nick Natanui, who's a big boy. You're really sharp on your toes, which is going to help your cause.
Thank you.
You can pump it up a bit, mate. You don't just need to. What about yourself, Jim? Do you look at it and think, yeah, I could adapt, or I could make something myself in this game? Or at this point, do you look at it and think, gee, it's a lot of steps to get there?
I definitely think we could all play the game. I mean, we have like a really good baseline athleticism and strength just from playing our own sports. But like Jalen said, there's a lot of differences. We used to like a lot of stops and starts, short sprints, that kind of thing. And the game's not as long, obviously. And this is just like running, jumping, continuous. Like we did a couple of laps on the track, and I was amazed like how long it took us to get around even one time. So. It's going to take a lot of adapting. Though.
it's a big oval in comparison.
It's huge.
Kai, what's your longest kick so far? How far can you kick the footy?
Oh, I don't even know. It's. I'm sure it's pales in comparison.
I think it was like 10 meters.
Maybe pushing like 15, 18. No.
Did you guys think it? Did you think it was unusual when you're sitting out there waiting to come on and Duck came out and started showing him videos of yourself, playing football?
I was like, man, this is what Australians do.
You thought it was a little bit forward.
I said, wow. He inspired us to start playing our highlight tapes back there.
Yeah, right. Hey guys, listen, we appreciate all three of you coming in. Best of luck. You got another week in Melbourne, so you're going down to the Kangaroos, Kai?
Yeah, we'll be at North this coming week.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, thanks for coming in, mate. All work out. And of all the interviews you've done a lot in the last week. How are we going here on this show?
It's amazing, man.
Best one yet, bro.
You folks can get drafted in no time. Good on you, boys. James, Kai, and Jalen, all the way from the States. MJ, our intrepid producer. We just spoke a story about a couple of blokes in Berlin who decided to have a couple of bets on the footy and get tattoos. We've now got at 20 to 4 in the morning, Berlin style.
We've got him on.
Cam is on the line. I don't know what type of shape he's in, but he's on the line. Good morning, Cam.
Good morning. Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. Yeah. Tell us what occurred last night with the footy. Where did you watch it and what was the end result, Cam? We're just trying to get our facts correct here.
Yeah. So my friend Vadim and myself woke up and decided that we wanted to watch the game after quite a sturdy Thursday night, I think it might have been. No, Friday night.
Oh, mate, it was that sturdy, you don't even know what day of the week it is.
Yeah, time really kind of doesn't really work over here. So we decided to go to the pub. I'm not sure which pub.
I think it was called Belushi's, I think.
Belushi's Pub Berlin, which is a fine establishment.
Right.
And upon sitting down, I said, me being a Hawthorn supporter, I said, if the Tigers get up today, I will get Richmond tattooed on me. And he said, well, he goes, if the Tigers get up as well, I'll get the score tattooed on me. And
you've got the permanent tattoo. So you've gone down to see your German tattooist, and what have you said to him? Like, he wouldn't have exactly understood 10-11-71, I don't think.
I don't think he understood. I don't think he understood the passion or the tears in my eyes. But he certainly needled me the same and charged me the same.
What does it cost for a tattoo of that type?
It was 100 euros. So
when you blokes actually go to sleep and wake up next Wednesday, Cam, and you realise as a Hawthorn man, you've got Richmond tattooed across your torso for life. How's that going to sit with you, big boy?
Well, I'm going to move into Richmond, the suburb, and just say that's because I live there.
Boys, we appreciate your time. Travel safely, get some sleep, and gute Nacht.
Yeah, thank you very much, dude, fellas.
Yeah. There's some bets I reckon you can Welsh on, Ducky. And the,
you reckon that's one?
That's one I'm pulling out of. What were those blokes thinking?
Wow. Well
done
spoken,
to MJ to get onto those blokes. Very, very, very well spoken blokes. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Ducky Boy, our next guest, has been a servant of the Dead Set Legends. He's Mr. Saturday Night Football, and he raised over $100,000 in his attempt to swing the English Channel for the Shane Warne Foundation. He's a great man, the dog. Campbell Brown joins us now. Hello, doggy.
Howie, Duck. How are you, boys?
Hey, wonderful to speak with you, mate. We got you on because I had a chance to have a chat with you at the footy last night, and some of the things you told me I found quite extraordinary. You set off to swim the channel in perfect conditions, just clear, calm and beautiful. At 9 hours in, tell us exactly what occurred with the weather and you and the skipper.
Yeah, things were going almost better.
Swimmingly.
Swimmingly. Good point there, Duck. And couldn't have gone better for the first 6 hours. It was nice and flat and warm, and I got to the halfway mark. And then, at about the six-hour mark, the wind just picked up and came out of nowhere, gusting at close to 50 kilometres an hour. They called it a force six. Mm. Mate, basically, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I'd been swimming in the same spot for 3.5 hours, and no one on the boat had the heart to tell me, but I wasn't getting anywhere. So I thought I was still going along okay, but with the wind and the weather and the currents and things like that, I was actually almost getting pushed backwards. So
now, knowing you, you're swimming along there, and in all seriousness, you told me last night you were feeling fantastic. The captain starts having a chat with your crew. You don't know at this point that you've gone nowhere for 3 hours. When he yells over the boat and blows the whistle, Brownie, it's time, you're done. What was your initial response?
Well, I told him to get stuffed. to be honest, my mindset, and I think I've said it before on Dead to Legends, was just keep rolling the arms over and eventually you'll get there. It might take an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever, but if you stay in the water and you're still going forward, you'll get there. So I told him I was still feeling good and I wasn't getting out of the water, and that's when he explained to me that I hadn't moved anywhere. So that was pretty disappointing to hear that, and he said the weather conditions were only getting worse and it was going to be impossible to get to France, and I had to get in the boat for the safety of the crew and for myself and get back into the Dover port. So that ended my channel attempt, the first attempt anyway.
Yeah, very disappointing, Brownie. I know how disappointed you were, but is it true that you went back a few days later or a week later and thought, I'm going to give this another go?
I went back up to London and got on the piss with Warnie, which was a little bit of fun.
And Instagrammed yourself on the Lord's pitch, which blew up and got you on the front page of the Times in London. But anyway.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of fun too. I like to mix work with a little bit of pleasure. And went over to Santorini and was just relaxing there for a few days with the missus, and got a text from my swimming coach, Shelley Taylor-Smith, saying she was still in Dover, saying, I've pulled some strings and I've managed to get you a second boat on short notice. Would you consider coming back down to Dover? And I thought about it for a little while and I thought, why not give it another go? So I changed my flights. I got out of another week of work with Triple M and went back down to Dover for 5 nights, and I didn't even get out. The weather was just so poor that no boats were going out whatsoever. So there came a time where some good weather was on the way. Yesterday and today is really nice over there and all the swimmers are out. But
I had to get back, mate, to work, unfortunately. So didn't get that second opportunity that I wanted. But, yeah, I feel better in knowing that I did give it a second crack.
Hey, Brownie, I don't say this lightly. You had a wonderful footy career with some major disappointments. This is something you'd set your heart on. You'd been training for a year and a half. You had to put on a lot of weight, which, as a fit man, I don't think sat that well with you. The moments when you got back in the boat and you got back to Dover, mate, how low did you go, brother?
Oh, look, it's one of those things that, yeah, I put my heart and soul into it, but I did give it everything I had, and, you know, it was out of my control. So I never played in a losing grand final, but I can just imagine that's how you feel, that all this effort and energy and you want it so bad going into the last day of September, and then for whatever reason it doesn't work out. You might play poorly or you might play well and the team gets beaten. That feeling of disappointment. But in saying that, mate, there's plenty of worse things that happen in life, and you know, it's not something that I'll skew on too much. It is a feeling of unfinished business, and I need to decide whether I go back over and do it again, just for my own personal satisfaction. But there's a fair bit of time and effort and energy that goes into that, so we'll just weigh it up, mate. But you can't you know, get too upset. If I'd have not prepared well enough or got hypothermia and got pulled out because I hadn't put on the weight or whatever, and it was something that was in my control, I would have probably been a lot more disappointed than...
Were you disappointed, Brownie? Were you disappointed when you found out that your captain's previous role was captain of the Costa Concordia and maybe he cost you?
yeah, that was an ideal, mate. So the fact that he's renowned as the best man in the business, and he often, you know, takes guys out on days that other boat captains don't and successfully gets them across, and just for my luck, he couldn't have predicted it, but chose the wrong day and the weather came out of nowhere and just happened to be in my swim.
Hey, Brownie, on a serious note, you still raised over $100,000, so well done, buddy.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing as well, that you know, there's heaps of money raised that'll have make a significant difference to a lot of children's lives in Australia. So, the swim wasn't just all about me getting across. There was still plenty of success that came out of it.
Good on you, brother. We appreciate your time. Mr. Saturday Night Football, you'll be on again tonight. And congratulations on a wonderful effort, mate.
Thanks, boys. I just want to open up that file on Ducko as well.
Is this the one that Alistair...
I'm what Clarko said.
My file is not as big as... yours these days, Brownie, I know that.
Well, it's funny because obviously Alistair Clarkson said we have to open a Carey file in the press conference last night. We began to open it on the show and then we got a text that said maybe close the file. Duck, who was the text from?
Yeah, Steph. But I'd
be your fiancé.
I've opened it and I opened it on P.
P?
Yep.
What was under P?
Parking fines.
Oh, is that all it was?
That's
all right. Hey, Brownie, we appreciate your time.
Good on you, boys.
Ducky, we like to move in alternative sports occasionally on this show.
We do. We do a lot of different stuff.
I've got one for you here that has come across my desk. The 43rd World Skills Competition in Brazil, which is basically the Tradies Olympics, Ducky boy.
Tradies Olympics have, what, 100, 200, 400?
60 countries involved, all sorts
what
of sports.
What sort of events?
Well, there's Johnny Ramirez from Illawarra is representing us in bakery, where they have a big bake-off. The patisserie and confectionery department is Adele DeBella from Sydney, floristry
right.
Jessica Parkers.
I see.
You know what the Australian team are called?
What?
The Skillaroos, Ducky
Skillaroos,
boy.
I like it.
And a man that's going in the plumbing department because he's beaten off all the competition is Dylan DiMartino. He joins us now. G'day, Dil.
Good morning.
Oh, brother. Firstly, congratulations on your selection. You must be a very sharp plumber.
Yes, I might say that.
What do you have to do? Dig a hole?
Lucky enough we don't. Basically, our task is to all the installation of hot and cold water, sanitary gas, and a little bit of hydronic heating. And basically, they try and incorporate all aspects of plumbing so they can test you on a little bit of everything.
Explain the hot and cold water thing. What, you just got to make sure that one's hot and one's cold?
Oh, well, basically, they try and simulate almost like a miniature house. So you run your hot and cold water lines to a sink, shower, and a basin. And then you also run your waste pipes there, and then you do a little bit of a fit-off. So you'll fit the actual basin itself, tapware and shower rail and all that sort of stuff. So they basically try and give you a miniature house and put everything into one little room.
Now, Dil, have you been to Brazil before?
No, I haven't done much travelling.
Well, mate, I have, and let me assure you, plumbers are in short supply over there. There's a lot. There's a lot of work for the plumber. Tell me, have you seen your competition? Have you analysed who you need to beat? I hear the Swedes are very sharp in the plumbing department.
Yes, I've heard a lot of the European countries seem to be pretty good, but hopefully the Aussies are better. But yeah, we get a test project, so they give us a plan of what we're going to get, but that's subject to a plus or minus 30% change. So you can't get people who memorise it. So you go there and there'll be an aspect of on the spot, you've got to work it out.
Hey, Dylan, I don't get it because this is clearly all about speed and you blokes normally go slow. So you bill us more.
Yeah, we'll do a charge by the hour, so, you know. Time I get my service call in Brazil is probably empty bill.
Is there a department in how much you can rip off the punter or not?
I don't think so, no.
Hey, Dil, how long are you over there for on this particular Olympics?
Well, the competition itself runs for 3.5 days, so 22 hours of comp time. But the Australian team will be travelling over and we'll be in Brazil for about 2 weeks.
And will you expect to fraternise with the other tradies from all around the world and, you know, sort of swap a few tips on how to clear the toilet and all that type of stuff?
Oh, it's always interesting speaking to international people in the same industry because, you know, you think you all do everything the same, but you talk to people that obviously from America and nations that have different sort of climate conditions and the way they go about plumbing is just completely different, so it definitely makes for an interesting competition.
Well, you'll be right, because you're in the Southern Hemisphere. The Europeans will be a little bit nonplussed, the plumbing, because the water goes the different
the way.
Way, Dil, no. doesn't
yeah.
it? So it's a bit of local knowledge for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, brother, listen, best of luck. I hope it all goes well in Brazil, and if you don't come home with a gold medal, we won't speak to you. But if you do, you're our man, Dylan.
Not a problem. Thanks very much for your time.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.